right, let's get going. There's a lot to do. I don't know that I shouldn't be doing this five nights a week. We're going to do it three nights a week, Erica and I, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I thought tonight it might be good to read some of the stories. Because when you go out and about, unless you unfortunately and tragically might know someone who has a severe reaction, shall we say, to the bioweapon, half-dead reaction, you will think that things are normal. You can go out and look around and people are driving and they're going to stores and they're out and about. Things look normal. They're not normal. Your hospitals are in all likelihood full and facing massive overflow in the next year. People are dying. They're dying at home. They're dying at work. They're dying in the hospitals. They're being murdered in the hospitals. And yet it looks normal. I've had friends in southern states, northern states, saying, well, things look pretty normal around here. And then I ask them the key question, and this is important. If you think they're normal, have you read your local newspaper obituaries lately? You can find them online. No, haven't. Well, how about just take a flyer and go do it. Look at them. Look for the key phrases. Younger people, 20s, 30s, 40s, died suddenly, died unexpectedly, died of a stroke. There must be dozens of them by now. But they're lies. They're cover-up terms because these people are being murdered by the bioweapon. Their immune systems, you know the story, have crashed or are in the process of crashing. That opens the door to any number, and I mean dozens, of potentially fatal diseases or issues that will set up circumstances by which fatal circumstances will implode and you're gone. It's that bad, and it just, you don't see it, so it's out of mind. You don't hear it. It's you don't believe it. Read the obituaries. Erica, are you there?
I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening to you. You told me about this obituary, local obituary reading thing. You were reading recently some of yours. I know you don't have them pulled up, but what are you seeing there? And your town, like many towns, looks relatively normal. What are you finding when you read the obituaries, though?
There does seem to be an increase in quite a few younger people making the obituaries, people in their 20s and 30s. And, you know, the explanation is died unexpectedly.
Suddenly.
So, I think,
unexpectedly. Whatever.
Yeah.
We could put together a pamphlet of all these terms they're using.
Yeah, these are euphemisms for, well, shouldn't have died, but did.
There are so many people out there who are, and have already in the 11 months, well, it's 12 months now, I guess, almost, that they've been giving these bioweapon shots out, who have been, they haven't suffered, I don't like these terms, adverse reaction. No, they have been permanently injured, damaged for life. Their lives have been ruined if they survive. Now, my next question is one I've asked before, and we should go over it. How many of these people, and you monitor these things, are actually recovering and getting back to a normal life?
It's hard to say because the people that come into the support groups, you know, if they stick around, that means they're not getting better. But if they leave, of course, or they get better, they would obviously leave. But the groups are growing. You know, what started out as a couple hundred people 10 months ago has ballooned into the thousands. And I have noticed that a number of them are not overcoming the injury. And in most cases, the doctors are of very little help, either because they'll deny that the injury was vax-related or they honestly don't know what to do for the person.
They're liars. They know. They know what's going on, most doctors. Mm-hmm. They know exactly what's going on. but they don't want to tell the truth for a variety of reasons. I understand that, and it's particularly disgusting. What did Tenpenny call hospitals? Death factories?
Oh, yeah, death factories.
And doctors should be indicted.
Yeah.
For murder and assisted murder. And I'll go a half step further and say that anyone working in the professional health field now who is working in a hospital, a clinic, or wherever, and become involved with people who have been terribly injured by these bioweapons and don't speak out, they are accessories to crimes. That's me talking. I don't know how you can look at it any other way. They're participating in treatments that they know are often fatal, such as using remdesivir on people. And now with the implosion of the immune systems of so many people and the introduction of so many different kinds of diseases, they don't have to lie anymore and say, well, Mr. Smith died of COVID. You don't have to do that. They can say he died of cancer, because he did. Or he died of kidney failure, because he did. They don't say he was on remdesivir, which caused it, but look, this is not an issue of COVID anymore. They have gotten out of the bag and they're on the loose now. They have so many different diseases that they can claim caused people death or illness. It's not even funny. And that's what they're doing, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, these injections just dismantle the immune system. I mean, it's so deranged, and people don't have a chance.
They're trying to weave now an AIDS narrative into an alleged COVID infection, which is pretty despicable when you think about it for about 2 seconds, if that. It is really dreadful. I have a friend who went into a hospital, and he was immediately told he had, what'd they tell him? He had COVID right away. Wasn't that it?
I believe it was HIV/COVID.
That's
right. Which is
something
I had never heard before, since when are they screening people for HIV at the same time as COVID?
Why? Why are they giving
an AIDS
test? Yes. So he went in and he was tested for COVID, and of course he was found to be COVID positive, and they put him in the COVID ward, and then they tested him for HIV. I think they tested him 5 times for HIV. They are trying now to establish a link in the minds of the public, and I mean the worldwide public, of a link between HIV, AIDS, and COVID. It's not true. There isn't one, not in the traditional sense of the term. It's just getting to the point now where they're trying hard to use AIDS as part and parcel of the COVID narrative. And it's particularly disgusting to me, knowing as much as I do about AIDS, that they would do this. But they're doing it. I'm trying to find the story I just put up. Go ahead.
A week ago, weren't they saying that the latest Omicron variant likely arose in an HIV-positive person in Africa who wasn't managing their disease well and contracted COVID, and now we have this hybrid chimeric HIV-SARS-CoV-2 variant that's going to race around the world now.
So what they're doing is further confusing the playing field of death, the playing field of genocide. They have it so well thought out and wired now that they've introduced AIDS as a potential factor in this. And it's crazy. It's crazy. What about people claiming that, well, we found HIV in the vial, we did check the vax and it was in there? What's the truth about that?
I think what they're saying is that there are HIV sequences in the spike protein or the coronavirus. And,
right.
And that was the evidence that this thing never originated from a bat in the wild. It was a lab origin
synthetic
virus.
Complete created.
Yeah.
Correct. That's the proof
but
right there.
These sequences of HIV that are in it, they're not the guts of the virus. They're envelope proteins or glycoproteins, and so even though they're common to the structure of HIV, they don't have the reverse transcriptase or the integrase in them to make them as bad as HIV would be. Not that this bioweapon isn't bad. It certainly is. And I think in some cases it's probably worse than HIV. It seems to be a lot faster when you take it as an injection in terms of dismantling somebody's immune system. But now here's the thing. We don't know what these mRNA sequences that are in these injections are coding for. I mean, they tell us it's just the spike protein, but it's proprietary. They could have put an HIV sequence in there so that you're generating, let's just say, an HIV protein like GP120 or GP41. And now, in addition to the spike protein, you're producing an HIV sequence. So when you go to have your antibodies tested, it looks like you have HIV. That may be the shenanigan that they're hatching right now.
No one is checking the cases of vials that are being assembled and shipped out. No one. No one's checking anything. They're just doing it on, well, alleged blind faith that these companies are going to continue to follow
Correct.
Their patents. Well, if you read the patents are wide open for abuse and criminality. Forget comernity. Criminality would be a better word for this new one.
Comernity. Well, and even if they were in violating the whatever their stated ingredients or what court is going to uphold it?
No. What is the phrase? It contains such and such and such and such and may contain other
items. But it's not limited to, including but not limited to.
That's what it was. Thank you. Thank you. It contains X, Y, and Z, but is not limited to. And so the door is open. They can change these vials anytime they want. And Erica certainly believes, I believe, they are. They're changing these routinely.
Yes. And nobody is really in a position to verify this. I mean, for all the detective work that's gone into this, people, you know, getting a hold of vials and attempting to analyze them to the best of their ability, I have yet to see anybody analyze the actual nucleic acid sequences that are in these things.
Not one lab in America that we know of has done this. And you'd think that one might. But then again, when you think about how the game is being played, maybe you understand why this may not be happening. These people, it would take one phone call and they would stop. Your grants are cut off to start. Pretty soon your heads will be cut off if you don't stop. They will. They kill people. They don't care. They will stop it. If it's a problem, if it's an impediment to their game plan, they will stop it. And we have to understand that this is an evil, evil issue, and it's not going to go away. And I don't personally believe they're going to slow down at all. I think they're probably cranking this up. And Erica may well be right that they may well be putting AIDS in these vials, HIV.
Yeah, the sequence to make your body produce the proteins.
Produce, exactly.
Just like the spike protein, except this is a protein that's a hallmark or characteristic of HIV. So when you get your blood tested and they're screening for HIV, you get a positive, even though you may not be truly infected with HIV. But you've got the marker proteins for the exterior of the virus. But I mean, nobody should be trusting these people. They can put whatever they want in there. I mean, this issue of the microRNAs that have the ability to modulate your genetic expression, turn off genes, turn on genes.
That's mRNA. MIRNA.
MicroRNAs, yeah.
Yeah.
So these are little strands of RNA, smaller than the messenger RNA, that just go into your body and make their way into a cell, and whatever your cell is attempting to produce, this can cancel it out. So it's a highly dysregulating effect.
Destroying,
but who's to say they're not doing that?
We don't know. No one's knowing now, and no one's going to know in the future. Not for a long time, anyway.
I mean, it's one big experiment, so they can pretty much do whatever they want.
Is it really, and I understand the use of the word, is there anything really much about this bioweapon that's an experiment at this time? I view it, at least in the initial rollout, and the secondary and the third rollout, this is not an experiment. This is a deployment. Now, they can tweak it from then on, and maybe they are, and maybe they have, adding other things to it, like what you just said, to create a combination spike protein and HIV production in the body, which, good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, I don't know, but if you look at the data that was analyzed from VAERS that showed the toxicity of various batches, and by toxicity it was based on the number of adverse effects associated with the different batches. There were clearly some batches that were, in some cases, 2,000 times more toxic than the baseline batch. And
well,
it was trackable. I mean, you know, the data clearly showed it. There were very strong correlations with various batches to various degrees of toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
So something, you know, it may not be as random as it seems.
No, it may not. And now the boosters keep coming, and they're talking about limitless boosters in the UK. You'll never stop taking boosters. That's what they're saying. And the same thing will be true here. I don't know how many there are available here now, at least four, maybe six. I don't know. But
what's the point of a booster when they've already stated that the original vax, which is what these boosters are, that it was for the Alpha variant, the very first strain, they've already said it was ineffective against the Delta, and it's definitely ineffective against this latest one, if you believe any of this. But so why would you take a booster for a strain that's no longer even a threat?
What you're saying is the boosters are just a rerun of the first round of shots.
Yes, which is shown to be obsolete.
Useless, of course. Or maybe not obsolete, and maybe still as potent, not the saline version, but the regular version, and maybe still as deadly, and certainly not any kind of an experiment. I still believe these are fully deployed bioweapons.
Well, they're clearly dismantling people's immune systems and causing a raft of other problems.
Oh, my. All right. Well, what we're going to do is, during this hour, is read some of the human stories involved with these things, and get Erica will comment on them, and I'll just read out the text. There's several good sites up on the internet now. All right. This is Lauren B., Pfizer 2021, three adverse events within the family. Now, some of these they're written by folks, and they're missing words and things, so if I kick a few words around, forgive me. I'm reading these cold. Multiple severe adverse reactions. There are three Pfizer vaccine injuries in my household. Three. Myself, 44, I had one Pfizer vax on the 26th of February, 2021, and am still not recovered. My son, 17, had both Pfizer vaccinations in August and September 2021. My daughter, 15, had one Pfizer vax in August. You'd think that if the father got sick, what the hell's wrong? Why would he let his kids have anything to do with this? Well, anyway, my daughter is the least affected. She had anaphylaxis and still suffers shortness of breath 14 weeks later. She's getting ready to start with an inhaler, D-U-L-E-R-A, Dulera inhaler, in the hope of reducing airway small vessel inflammation. This is her only issue from the vaccine. My son was not so lucky. 10 weeks after the second dose, and has battled severe constant tachycardia, including while at rest. That's arrhythmia, irregular heart beating. Collapsed a few times, strange labs constantly, crashing potassium, elevated bilirubin. Is that how you pronounce it? Bilirubin?
Yeah, bilirubin, yep.
High NKT cells, high memory B and T cells, helper cells. He's had multiple ER visits, multiple severe abdominal pain and sickness, and significant weight loss, weakness of his legs and left arm, shortness of breath, stabbing pains, tingling, etc., etc. For myself, I had one Pfizer vax in February, and here I got to go back to this. The guy let his kids do this afterward, and I'm still suffering 8 months later without relief and still getting new issues. My reaction was both neurological and autoimmune. Severe weakness of legs, arms, neck, severe shortness of breath, extreme sound sensitivity, vision issues, CFS, PEM, vibrating, shaking, weakness, cognitive dysfunction, and fog, dementia-like issues, tingling, numbness, stabbing pains, bladder dysfunction. Just found out I have high D-dimer, so now I have to deal with that too. Have been to ER many times and seen many doctors. I was recommended for an IVIG by a major medical center, but they won't support it for some reason, so I'm at a loss, blah, blah. All right, here's the father. The guy's had his butt kicked with this. He's ruined. And yet he let his kids do this. Maybe they made their own decision. I don't know. I'm not there. But he says, I just found out I have high D-dimer, Erica. So he says, now I have to deal with that too. How do you deal with a high D-dimer? That's chronic, constant microclotting in potentially every major organ of your body.
Well, now he's on anticoagulant therapy for probably indefinitely.
Sounds like a long time.
Now you know why the UK ordered, what was it, 3 billion pounds sterling of anticoagulants, what, through 2025 or something?
For the general public?
Oh, I don't
public?
Know. I can't imagine.
and then we've got the pills, the little tablets for 5-year-olds and under.
Yep. Perdaxa for kids.
Why, I don't know why people can't understand that they're being targeted for elimination. It's very simple. These aren't adverse reactions. They're injuries on the road to death. Sorry. Here's another woman, Philomena Daly, the Pfizer booster. She got a booster on the 16th of November and a flu jab on the same day. Brilliant move, Philomena. Brilliant. She died November 24th, 2021. Philomena's story is told by her son, Sean. She was out for dinner with the family on the Saturday before having the flu jab and the Pfizer booster jab, both on the same day, which was Tuesday, the 16th of November. Suddenly, on Wednesday, the 17th, she started to have a heart attack, which has since been described as severe and also caused extensive brain damage to the left-hand side of the brain. They said this damage was caused because they had been trying to resuscitate her for 40 minutes, and they claimed the lack of oxygen caused the failure of the organs. The injection on the 16th was Pfizer, and she passed away on the 24th in the evening. This is all crazy. Crazy. And I urge you again, and I'm not speaking for Erica, but I think we're on the same page. Don't get the flu vax. And for God's sakes, don't get any boosters. And for double God's sakes, don't get them at the same time on the same day. This is really begging for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to this lady? She got the booster jab. Is it true the booster jab is just the same as version 1 or version 2?
I believe it
is. Do we know?
I've
heard that.
Yeah, I'm not sure that anybody's even checking, because I've heard of kids going into some of these pharmacies and they're getting the adult version of whatever's on hand. I mean, the sloppiness of this whole rollout is appalling.
Who do you trust? Who do you trust?
No one these
anymore.
Days. I mean, the medical establishment is completely corrupt.
Trust no one. Remember, the people who are still working, for the most part, took the bioweapon to keep their jobs, right? Here's another one. Taylor Graham, she got the Johnson & Johnson on April 5th. April 5th. May, June, July, August, September, October, November. Tell us about the Johnson & Johnson and why it's, just briefly, why it's different from Pfizer and Moderna. What the big deal is.
The Johnson & Johnson uses a viral vector to deliver the genetic material to force your body to make spike proteins. So it's a live virus. It's supposed to be replication incompetent in that they've taken out a couple of the genes that it uses to replicate. Now, the thing is, with adenoviruses, many people have prior immunity from prior infections. They're very, very common. We get exposed to them continually throughout life, and many times we actually harbor them in a latent form. And so even though this viral vector, this J&J, and the AstraZeneca is similar, except it's a chimpanzee adenovirus, when it goes into you, it may not have the genes to replicate, but it can borrow those genes from another adenovirus that's hanging out in your body at that time.
Which could be easy, right?
Yes,
common.
Yes. And so, this thing, if it regains competence, mm-hmm. it can persist and be shed for up to 800 days.
Say that again. 800
okay,
days?
800 days. So you could be generating spike protein, maybe not constantly, but intermittently, for up to 800 days. Should this thing come back to life when it's in you, which is, I think there's a high probability of that. That's not conjecture. That's been known to happen with these live viruses that are supposed to be attenuated.
Oh, okay. Now, here's another one. Taylor Graham, Johnson & Johnson, as I said, April 5th. Severe adverse reaction, age 22. 22-year-old kid. I received the J&J vax on April 5th, 2021. Since then, I've been horribly sick. When it first started, it was a normal day. But then I started to feel dizzy. I got down to the ground and tried to focus on my breathing. Suddenly, my whole body locked up, and my entire body began convulsing. I couldn't get up. After maybe 10 minutes of that, I regained the ability to move and started vomiting. My Fitbit, I don't know what Fitbit is, F-I-T-B-I-T. Do you?
Oh, that's one of those watches
heart
that
test?
Tracks your heartbeat.
Okay. My heartbeat tracker read that my heart rate was 170 BPM, beats per minute. I called for help right away. I mean, this girl just was dropped, locked up, spasms, vomiting, couldn't breathe, dizzy. I called for help right away. Since that day, I have severe tachycardia and hypertension. I take metoprolol around the clock to help manage my blood pressure and heart rate. I've seen my rate as high as 180 beats per minute, and my BP as high as 180 over 120. And that was with the medicine in me. I'm also on a second BP med, and it helps a little. I've had bad chest pain all the time and heart palpitations. I have these terrible spells, as I call them, where my heart rate is out of control, and it's the worst feeling ever. They can last from hours to days. I've had to go to the ER 5 times over my heart rate being way too high, even with the beta blockers in my system. My body now has trouble regulating my blood sugar. It drops for no reason, and sometimes it gets too high. My memory has been affected. I have panic and anxiety attacks that can last days at a time. I'm on 2 different anxiety medications now, and they don't help. I've had regular periods ever since I was 12, and haven't had a period since I received the J&J vax. It's been 7 months now with no menstrual cycle. I can not regulate my body temperature at all. I'm hot all the time. I can't tolerate heat whatsoever. I get very dizzy. This is a 22-year-old kid. I get very dizzy and weak. I also have a neurological tick, I guess you'd call it. My head shakes back and forth, and I have uncontrollable body movements. I used to have great energy. Now I'm so tired all the time. I have severe debilitating inflammation throughout my body. It affects every joint I have. I have shortness of breath, and now I get headaches. Since I've been sick, I've had to quit caffeine, smoking, and alcohol. I've had to manage my stress. All of those things trigger my bad spells. Doctors have told me I'm not to drive anymore, and I can no longer physically exert myself. Even trying to walk up a slight hill makes me out of breath, and I feel like I'll pass out. I was hospitalized for a week at a mental hospital after going to the ER because I had a 4-day-long panic attack, and I couldn't get my heart rate under control. I was a healthy 22-year-old woman before this vaccine. It has been 7 months. I'm tired of suffering, and I want my life back. I've seen a bunch of different doctors who have absolutely no answers.
This is tragic.
And you wonder why the suicide rate is going up now among young people?
Yeah. I'm aware of a few people in a couple of these support groups. They have committed suicide because their injuries were just, impossible to live with, just with no end in sight.
Murder can be interpreted many different ways, and I see murder in every one of these. I don't care if it's slow or fast, it doesn't matter. These people are just ruined. You look at their faces, they're ruined. Their lives are over. Carol Curran, first Pfizer dose, 23 November. 3 weeks ago. Severe adverse reaction, stroke, and Bell's palsy. Student nurse. 3 weeks ago, the government set it to the deadlines that mandatory vaccines will be rolled out amongst us at the NHS staff. On Tuesday, the 23rd of November, I had begrudgingly made the decision to have my first jab, though nothing but coercion was involved. My freedom of choice was taken away from me, my career that I had worked so tirelessly for, my career that many have sacrificed for me to get, my career that provides a stable and comfortable future for my children and my family, my career that has seen me work unpaid 12-hour days throughout the pandemic, was at risk for the sake of a jab I did not want or need. Yesterday, the 30th of November, I was admitted to the hospital. Doctors declared at the age of 27 I had had a mini stroke as a result of the Pfizer vax and have also developed Bell's palsy. That's right, from a vaccine I didn't want, from a vaccine I knew I didn't need. And to top it off, the evening of my admission, the Royal College of Nursing published an article on evidence-based research that suggested NHS staff being vaccinated made no difference to the care and numbers. I am a student nurse 6 months away from qualifying. Doesn't sound like she's going to make it.
Yeah, I mean, science has never entered into any of these policies. Why would it now?
What the hell is science? Somebody tell me, what is science as it is now, perverted and presented by Big Pharma? What is science? Science is corrupted tests, corrupted data, liars, frauds. That's science. Science by demand. Science on sale. Buy what you want.
That's what it is. And it's funny that, you know, people are buying that, that they believe, and I know somebody personally who stated this yesterday, they believe whatever Fauci says is legitimate science. He would never lie. Why would he do that?
Why would the devil do anything?
It's really flabbergasting that so many people can't see it. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take.
I don't think there's any way to turn it around. We have no access to the mainstream media platforms to try to tell the truth to people. We have the internet, and we have social media platforms and groups. But how many of these groups are really legit, and how many of them are AI, and AI run, or AI
right.
influenced, or screened? How many real-time people do we have who are writing, and they get paid for it, posting comments under different names, lies?
Mm-hmm.
How many? Limitless. Limitless money, limitless horrors, limitless writers. Doesn't matter. Here's another one. Leanne Dale, Pfizer, 3rd of May, 2021. Leanne's 18-year-old son also suffered pulmonary embolisms from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Leanne writes, I spent 2 days in the hospital with my son, May 29 and May 20, 2021. He was diagnosed with bilateral pulmonary embolisms and an infarction in his left lung from his J&J vax. 6 days later, May 26, the back of my left leg was so sore I couldn't walk. My son dropped me off at the ER where I had blood taken, and my D-dimer test was 101,630. Normal is 0 to 500. She had 101,000 rather than 0 to 500. She was getting microclotted all over her body, and maybe bigger clots too. I had a Doppler ultrasound, and they found a 2.5-foot long DVD, a DVT, that's a deep vein thrombosis, a blood clot, in my left leg. 2.5-foot long blood clot in her left leg. I was taken by ambulance to another hospital to have it removed surgically. They did a contrast CAT scan at the next hospital and found pulmonary embolisms, plural, which stopped the surgery. I spent a week in the hospital on a heparin drip, and 7 days after on tinzaparin injections. I am now on blood thinners for the rest of my life. I was back in the hospital a week. See, you don't hear about these, dear friends. Wherever you are around the world, you're not hearing about these unless you know the people involved. I was back in the hospital a week later with a massive soft tissue infection in my arm. In my armpit as well, my breast, and my side. My symptoms started 19 days after the Pfizer vax. But I was so distracted by my son and his trouble, I didn't have it treated until a week later. Since then, I've been hospitalized for a menstrual hemorrhage twice, and now have to possibly have a hysterectomy. I have an echocardiogram, a Holter monitor, cardiology appointment, vascular surgery appointment, hematology appointment, and have been referred to urology for kidney disease. I live every day broken, both physically and mentally.
I don't know what to say. You know, it's...
All right, let me say something then. We'll go to this. Let's go back to this menstrual thing. we're not hearing about it as much as we did, as much as we should. What are the forums telling you? What are you seeing tracking menstrual irregularities and bleeding problems? And we've had bleeding issues from little children who weren't vaxxed. They were simply around vaxxed people. Infants.
Yep.
Months old.
So, yeah, it still is an ongoing problem. Some of these women that have been afflicted by it have actually resorted to having hysterectomies because the bleeding was so out of control. I mean, some of the young girls needed to be transfused because they were losing so much blood.
Transfusions. Unbelievable. Yeah. Tell me why the female body seems to be more of a playground for the bioweapon than males?
Well, I don't know, but I would conjecture that this spike protein gets into the brain and gets into the hypothalamus. Now, the hypothalamus regulates pretty much your entire endocrine system. And, of course, the female body is rather complicated from a hormonal standpoint. And if you mess up the master gland in the brain, then the rest of the downstream organs become dysregulated too.
All of them. I learned that in college as a biology student, freshman, that one endocrine gland out of whack or dysregulated, and they all react to it. They're all out of whack.
I think it's probably on top of that, there's obviously issues with the blood as well. So it's probably a compounded problem there. You know, the brain being poisoned, the hypothalamus being poisoned, and then there's abnormalities in the blood and either clotting inappropriately or not clotting in some cases.
How are these people, Erica, how are these people going to get better? I don't mean to be negative.
They're not. They're just treating symptoms.
No. Thank you. Exactly right. There is no pathway back to normal health for these people. They're screwed. Pardon my gutter talk. They're toast.
I mean, other than blaming the spike protein for most of this, which I think, yeah, that probably is a major part of it, but what else is happening?
You know what's happening. Microclots are constantly building.
Well, and I think we've got nano poisoning in there too, lipid nanoparticles, iron oxide nanoparticles, graphene nanoparticles. All of these could be contributing. I suspect there are other genetic sequences in the mRNA or in the DNA in the case of the adenovirus that's coding for things we don't know about that's contributing to this disruption.
God, these poor people.
The mistake isn't calling this thing a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. And people are being misled right from the get-go.
Well, calling these reactions is another lie, in my view.
And that implies, this is something that you could overcome.
Temporary.
But it's
temporal.
The damage.
No, these are injuries.
Just the dysregulation. It's almost all of these homeostatic mechanisms that the body uses to regulate itself have all been disrupted. And the fact that we're dealing with these nanomaterials that we don't know where they're ending up or if they're continuing. I mean, if the mRNA is continuing to copy itself and perpetuate itself, adapt, evolve.
Right. I'm particularly concerned about, which we talked about in our Wednesday program, and I hope all of you will go listen to it, the microclotting, which is 24 hours a day. And they are building and building and building. And you don't feel them. They don't show up on a CAT scan. I don't think they show up on an MRI.
Symptom that a person might have is possibly shortness of breath, fatigue. And this applies, unfortunately, to the unvaxxed as well, who are spending time in the vicinity, proximity to the vaxxed. They are also, in some cases, forming these microclots.
Go check our earlier programs for transmission and shedding, please, and understand that you are at risk whenever you're around anyone else. You don't know who's vaxxed. You don't know their circumstance. You must stay away. At least 6 feet. I know it sounds corny, but that's the best. Let me do one more reel. We've got 4 minutes. I'm going to zip this in. Melanie, a mother of two small children, aged 1 and 3, little babies, is a nurse working in a hospital, and her booster shot was due. Well, the next day after the booster, she had a very normal post-vaccination reaction, feeling flat and tired. 3 days later, she woke up with chest pain. She couldn't catch her breath after walking a few meters. She was very dizzy. She went to see a GP, who sent her for some blood tests. Oh, brilliant. The following day, she got a call from the GP, and they told her to go to the ER immediately. Fortunately, she works at the hospital and walked over. After more tests, the doctor said they think Melanie has a cardiac reaction from the Pfizer booster. Later that night, she found out she was in heart failure at 32 years of age. Melanie was admitted to a cardiac care ward under the heart failure team that night. After a few more days in the hospital, separated from her children and her baby that is still breastfeeding. Oh my, there's another door to go through. And more tests and investigations. The medical team says she has severe left heart failure. She has an ejection fraction of 23%, where an average healthy person should be between 50 and 70%. The team then changed their mind, and they said it was not from the vaccine, but from a pre-existing condition. However, Melanie had been well and healthy until 3 days after her booster shot. Melanie has severe left heart failure, is on numerous heart failure medications, and has to go in and out of the hospital for more follow-ups all the time. She is so unwell, and she suddenly has lost her independence and the ability to do simple things like battle and bathe for her children, and drive in case she goes into sudden cardiac arrest. So she can't drive. We hope and pray Melanie's heart will get better. I'll stop there. That's making me sick.
Incredible. But we're going to have legions of people soon enough that are, you know, we're all going to know somebody, if we don't know anybody already, that's suffering to this extent.
There's no way back for these people, at least not that we've seen yet.
Well, and
so
the
many
pattern
different
I'm seeing in these, at least in these support groups, and this is why these support groups are becoming so popular, is because they are not getting answers from doctors. There's the conventional treatments of steroids. You know, they just don't do the trick,
and
sometimes they actually make things worse.
They're in over their heads. I have a friend in the hospital, and I warned him, and in fact, we both did indirectly for a long time. Do not get any remdesivir if you ever end up in the hospital. He got sick. He went in. They promptly diagnosed him with COVID. With what? They had no test. And then I said, ask if you've been put on remdesivir. Get your chart and look at it. I didn't get anything back for a day and a half. Then I get an email back. Well, the doctor said he only put me on enough remdesivir so it would save my life. And then he took me off of it. This is insanity.
Yeah.
This is complete insanity. So he didn't want it. He got it. They just gave it to him because he signed away. Go ahead, take care of me. Give me what you think's best. You know what you do when you go into a hospital. Don't do that anymore. And you must have an advocate for you. So appoint somebody in your family. Have a family meeting. Who's going to advocate for me? And that means raise hell.
Yeah, these are not good places these days.
Last place you want to be is in the hospital, unless you break your leg.
Yeah.
I guess then you go in and get out, but even then.
Last quick
note, Eric has been on the nursing and breastfeeding mom forum. What is it?
Oh, yeah, pregnant nursing mothers trying to conceive.
Okay. We think that this is a completely AI-run board, with a few exceptions, because there are, what, you tell them.
Oh, there's 75,000 people in this particular group, which is almost unheard of. When these groups get that big, they typically get shut down the dialogue. But there are no negative reports, adverse events, nothing of that nature. In a group that size, that's almost unheard of. And, you know, women go into this group seeking advice or opinions about should I or should I not get vaxxed. I'm pregnant and I'm worried. I don't want to get COVID while I'm pregnant, but should I get the vax? And I don't know what to do. They are uniformly encouraged to go get the vax. And, and it's supported by, you know, baby pictures and countless women saying that they got the vax while they were pregnant and everything went just fine. And we know now that that's not reflective of reality.
Not
sadly.
At all. Okay. All right. We've got to run. Have a good weekend, everybody. Take care. We'll be back with you Monday night. You know where to find us in the meantime. Be well and prepare.